You are tuned in to KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7, and welcome to another segment of Community In-Depth. I'm your host, Mike Rood, and I have with me today State Representative Tony Juergens from the Capitol. How are you doing today, Tony?
I'm doing well so far today, Mike.
That's good. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on up at the Capitol from the House of Representatives and get an update from what's going on in the past week or so. I want to start with a resolution that you know of that has to do with Todd Field and the athletic complex over there in Hastings. Let me know what's going on.
Well, this is a resolution as I know it. It still needs to go through the local school board, the Hastings school board. But I learned in conversations with MnDOT the other day, to back up a little bit, the issue that we talked about a few weeks ago has to do with the land that is used for parking just to the west of Todd Field that is actually owned by MnDOT. And with the renovations that went on at Todd Field last year with the ticket booth expansion and the bathrooms and the concessions, that was all done on land that is owned by MnDOT. And so the plan all along was to convey or sell that piece of that parcel to the school district, because MnDOT won't lease land that has a building on it. So those discussions have taken place. The amount of that conveyance, I believe, is still what they originally talked about at $137,000. And then the sticking point was the lease, on how they were going to lease the remainder of that parking lot, the land that MnDOT owns. And there were the monthly lease initially was like $900 and some a month. The school district worked with MnDOT and they were able to get that down, I believe, in the $700 something per month range. The big thing that they were working on, and sounds like they came to an agreement on, has to do with those, if that land is to be sold down the road in, say, 5 years, that the lease payments could go to the purchase price. So if they end up buying that, the money that they will pay in lease payments will actually be part of the sale price at that time.
Right, kind of like a rent-to-own thing.
Okay. And that was, I believe, one of the last sticking points. And again, that needs to go through the school board yet, but that's the latest as far as what I heard from MnDOT recently.
All right, so, and that's a resolution that you're working on up in the legislature, or is that something that MnDOT is accomplishing on its own with the school district at this point?
MnDOT with the school district. My involvement has been more just staying on top of it and working with MnDOT to find out where we're at with this, to make sure, because we want to see a favorable outcome.
Sure.
And just letting MnDOT know that we're paying attention, I guess.
All right. And so you don't anticipate any actual legislative involvement in that at this point?
No. One of the things that, in fact, the day that I heard that there was a resolution, I just was looking at whether or not there's something I could have done legislatively to push this along, and turns out that they came to this agreement without that.
Okay. And there, then at this point, there's not a rigid timeline in place when this resolution, you're talking, you know, if they want to sell it off in a number of years down the road, so that's kind of an open-ended thing at this point?
Well, the reason that they aren't discussing conveying that land today is because of a future project on Vermilion Street, whether it's a mill and overlay or whatever that would look like. And if MnDOT needs to use some of that land for water retention ponds.
Oh, sure.
And so they don't want to sell that land until they know whether or not they're going to need it. So if they do need it, they'll use some of that for water retention. If they don't need it, then they could convey or sell all of that. But that, they want to wait till that project comes in, and that'll be the estimated time frame is within 5 years.
Okay. Moving on, the big news story all over the place right now is the COVID-19 situation. I'm not going to use words like pandemic or fear.
Although you just did.
Yeah, although I just did, yes. No, the COVID situation, how is that affecting things in the House of Representatives right now?
It's very, things throughout the entire week were very fluid. Early in the week, you heard people talking about overreaction and don't want to panic and this isn't that big of a deal and comparing it to the flu. And I got to say, within 24 hours, there was a complete 180
right.
in the way people were. And that's not just up at the Capitol. That's
everywhere.
People in general.
Sure.
You know, the news that was coming out and how it's impacting Italy, for example, and people saying we are today where Italy was 2 weeks ago. And so looking at that, saying, well, what do we need to do so that we don't have the same outcomes that they're experiencing there? So it was really, I really did see a huge shift and very quickly in how things were changing at the Capitol.
Right. And what are some of those, you know, I know the governor is limiting assemblies of over certain numbers of people. How does that affect the day-to-day up there?
Well, I checked my email before coming in here, and I had email after email of cancellations for
right.
either events that, you know, we still have different organizations that have receptions and things like that, mm-hmm. or big groups of special interests that are coming up to visit at the Capitol. For example, Dakota County was supposed to come up. They put a lot of work into their presentations. They have a lot of bills that they're interested in. And Commissioner Joe Atkins sent an email saying it's prudent to cancel this.
Sure, sure.
So they went ahead and did that. And now some of these things could get rescheduled later in session, but at this point we don't know what session's going to look like.
Right. So you can't answer the question whether or not that the session is going to be extended. Would that be considered an automatic, almost like special session, or you just tack that time that you can't meet now for things onto the end and still a regular normal session?
You know, a lot of it could take a lot of different avenues. One avenue is, remember, we passed the budget bills mm-hmm. last year. We could go home today and the state would continue to sure. operate. It would mm-hmm. continue. It's funded through next year. We could do that. There are things that we feel like we need to get done. We could hurry and get those done and then adjourn sine die, which means the end of the session. You know, adjourn the first year, just adjourn until the beginning of the second year in the biennium. But once that second session is done, it's done for that whole mm-hmm. Session. And so we could do that. We could go sine die, you know, get some things done and go sine die and be done. What I think will probably happen, and by the time your listeners are listening to this, we might already know the answer to that. I suspect you're going to see the legislature go into an extended recess.
Okay.
Whether that's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month.
Sure.
Let this all settle out and then come back and finish the work then. And go, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't get that done by the end of May, even if we take a month. Now, there's a lot of bills then that just aren't going to happen this year because there wouldn't be the time, but we could still do the big things. We could still talk about a bonding bill. We could still talk about a supplemental spending bill with the projected budget surplus. There's a lot of stuff that we could do, some, you know, insulin programs and that sort of thing.
Right. And I would guess that the big target would be making sure that the bonding bill is taken care of for this session. I understand that Governor Walz introduced a supplemental budget just recently, even earlier this week, and the insulin thing, I know they're working on that over in the Senate, so you want to kind of get all those things together. There are a lot of issues that the public would be benefited from by passing them.
Right. The insulin bill, we passed out of the House a couple of weeks ago. The Senate passed out their version of the bill. They're different. And so that went to conference committee. And so I'm hoping that when that comes back to the House after conference committee, that it'll be in a form that I can vote for, because I really think that that's something that we need to address this year. As for the governor's supplemental budget plan, I think he wisely is leaving, you know, the budget surplus is projected. We've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent budget surplus projection is $1.5 billion. And the governor's supplemental plan leaves most of that as it is, leaves
right.
most of that on the bottom line, which I think was a wise thing to do, because we don't know what the impacts of the economy are going to be. You know, the budget dollars, those dollars that we're talking about are based on income tax or based on sales tax. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an impact with all this coronavirus,
right.
You know, in the economy, and we don't know what that's going to look like. So it's prudent, I think, to take more of a wait and see on that.
Exactly. And talking a little bit more about the coronavirus and that, I understand that the you've set aside funding to deal with that, with the outcomes of what's going on with that, the $21 million. Talk about a little bit about that again.
We did. There's a $21 million bill that we passed that gives the governor the authority to use that funding. And it was tied to around $10 million or so from the federal government. Now, we put an amendment on that bill to, well, I'll back up a little bit. So that bill passed out of the Senate first. And then it came to the Senate, it passed out of the Senate first. When the House was taking up a similar bill, there was talk of putting an amendment on there that just stated things like the federal money is going to be used first before the state money, but if the federal money wasn't freed up or used, that the state money could be used first, and then there'd be a reporting mechanism to, you know, go back and then we basically get reimbursed from the federal. And so we sat for about an hour, I think it was, getting that language, that amendment language, right in the House, but we included the Senate. We got their approval on it, so that knowing when that bill would pass out of the House, that they would just accept our language. Otherwise, you have to go into a conference committee, and who knows how long that'll take. And we didn't want to hold that up. So what we ended up doing is we just sat in the House and did nothing for about an hour waiting for that to get piece of work to get done, and waited for the leadership in the Senate to say, yeah, we'll accept that or agree to it.
Sure.
So then we were able to pass that amendment in the House, and that when it went back to the Senate, different than the way it left, they said, yeah, we concur, we'll take this, we accept this language.
Okay. And also going on up there, there is a completely different fund that you've been working to restock or replenish, and that's a disaster contingency fund. Clarify that a little bit for us, and what I understand is that the disaster contingency fund is separate from this $21 million for the coronavirus.
It is. It's a separate fund, and it's the purpose is different. The disaster assistance contingency account is designed to give the governor spending in the event of a natural disaster. This came up last year. I had a bill for $30 million to put into that account. In the event of a natural disaster, when the legislature is not in session, the governor could utilize that or pull from that while we're in session. But it's really designed to be there for him or her to use when we're not there, so they don't have to call us back into a special session just to respond to floods, tornadoes, fires, whatever it is. So last year I had a bill for $30 million in that fund. It ended up getting funded $10 million out of in one bill, and then in kind of a funny little way, there was another $20 million later in session, or that was tied to the end of the fiscal year. But the bottom line is that we needed additional funding. We were able to pass that and send that off to the governor. And the governor even mentioned recently in a press conference that he was glad to have that funding as well as the coronavirus funding, because with spring coming, we could actually be battling both at the same time.
Right, exactly. And so generally speaking, though, those funds are separate.
Yes.
But it sounds like if there's a real need, that one could support the other, or the contingency fund could support what's going on with the coronavirus outbreak.
Well, it's the disaster assistance contingency account is really tied to the more weather related disasters, I guess you could say, or forest fires or things like that would be included in that.
Yeah, they're looking at rivers already rising in the state with the snow melt going on and spring coming.
Right.
Well, aside from the coronavirus situation, as best as you can tell us, what is going to be coming up next week as you look at session?
Well, you know, it's even throughout the past week, things changed on an hourly basis. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten to a point with the, you know, you mentioned earlier the bonding bill, and I'm on the House Capital Investment Committee, and we, for the most part, have moved on from our bill hearings and are starting to try to compile the bill. Chair Mary Murphy did meet with the members of the Republican, Chair Murphy's a Democrat. She met with the members of the committee from the Republican side, and we had a great conversation about, you know, how we want to move forward. And the big question still remains is how big will this bonding bill be? And how do we determine, do we put the bill together first and then whittle it down if we have to, if it has to be smaller, or add things if we need to grow larger? It would be so much easier if we could agree on an amount first and then decide which projects can go into it. But, you know, with the status of the session right now, that could all change.
Sure.
Everything that we've done could change. We still have a couple of hearings going on that for projects that hope to be included in the bill, depending on the size. So even earlier in the week, Chair Murphy asked us each from the committee if we would provide a list of projects that would be in, say, our top 12 or top 15.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the list of projects that we thought shouldn't be in the bill.
Sure.
And even by the end of the week, we had changed that a little bit. And I'm not sure if that's still going to be part of the process or not, depending on whether or not we need to really expedite this and get this out on the House floor very quickly.
Okay. And in all of that, I just want to bring it up again to keep it fresh, or, you know, keep it in our listeners' mind. The 316 project and the City Hall project, are they still moving in that bill? Are they still being included at this point?
Well, there is no bill at this point.
Oh, okay.
We're still compiling it.
And, sure.
But yes, I can assure you that anyone that will listen, I keep whispering in their ear about the Hastings projects to make sure that they're in there. And I have other projects too, some Washington County Park projects and mm-hmm. Dakota County projects. So I'm glad that I'm on that committee so that I can make sure that those interests continue to be heard.
Excellent. We're about out of time, Representative Juergens. I'd like to thank you for your time coming in to talk with us. Once again, please give us your contact information if anybody has questions.
You can email me at rep.tony.juergens@house.mn or call 651-296-3135.
Excellent. Representative Juergens, thank you again for your time. This is Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.
This is Mayor Mary Fassbender reminding you to observe precautions set forth by the CDC. Wash your hands and seek medical attention when needed. #HastingsProud.